Hour number two is live here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio, broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Podcast is uploaded moments after each hour goes off the air. The Periscope is available on our Facebook and Twitter, so you can check out the live video feed if you would like to. Join in on the conversation in the comment section as well. And then, of course, FanRunRadio.com, as well as the FanRun Radio app. Best place to find all your breaking news, content, and coverage of the Tennessee Volunteers. So make sure you check that out at some point in the day today. You can also get access to all the show information, all the podcast links, whatever you want, all right there from the FanRun Radio website and the app. But you already know all that, of course. So anyways, we got a big hour number two coming up today. Talking a little bit about the Antonio Brown situation that has evolved from yesterday. Brandon tells me that that story has certainly taken some strange twists and turns. Is that correct?
Well, he now has an arrest warrant issued for himself from the police.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah, he's got an arrest warrant for battery.
Battery and...
I forgot there was two charges on there.
Battery being the more severe one.
Burglary. It says Hollywood police spokesman Christian Latta said in a news release that Brown faces charges of burglary with battery, a felony, burglary of an unoccupied conveyance, and criminal mischief. There was no police activity seen at Brown's home Wednesday night after the warrant was issued, suggesting police were waiting until Thursday morning to arrest him if he did not turn himself in.
Yeah, according to SportsCenter on Twitter, like we said, the arrest warrant has been issued, charge of burglary and battery, and Brown allegedly threw a rock at the driver of a moving truck before taking part in battery against him, according to the court documents obtained by TMZ.
What are we, 12 years old? You threw a rock at another man?
Yeah, man.
Well, and then he went and proceeded to beat him up, it sounds like.
I mean, yeah.
It started with a refusal to pay the moving truck bill and ended with an effort to take his property from the truck. So that's where the burglary charges, I'm guessing, comes back into play.
So it says that...
I don't know, but how you steal your own stuff? I don't get that either.
It said,
that's my stuff.
Brown allegedly refused to pay the $4,000
fee. But if he's not paying, if he's not paying the service.
Yeah, that's true. That's where they put a lien on it, temporary lien type thing.
That right there is, so basically, the moving truck had all of Antonio Brown's stuff, basically said, you know, hey, you're on the hook for $4,000. Antonio Brown said, well, I'm not going to pay it. And the moving person said, well, you know, basically, it's in the contract that this is how it's going to go. So the moving truck driver attempted to just leave with all the property in the truck.
Even other reports out there.
Like, what a disaster.
From media, cops have even been alerted that AB might have a gun on him and has a concealed weapon permit.
Oh, man.
They have told officers that AB can be confrontational. At this point, that's scary. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of scuttlebutt. You like that one? That is the correct use of the word. There you go. But, I mean, at this point, it's no longer really so much funny about it. It's kind of just sad and troubling. And, you know, it's like a bad car wreck. You don't want to take your eyes, you know, see what's happening with them. But at the same time, I just hope nothing serious happens and doesn't turn into more of a tragic situation than it already is. Because the guy is a good athlete and can ball, but he's got to get his head right. You got to do something. Somebody's got to talk to him.
Is there anything that you can do? I mean, I think it's obvious that the guy has CTE related.
Yeah, no, really, seriously. I think we're starting to see more of that too. That I know that they can only really test it once people have, you know, died and really study the brain like that. But we're starting to see Larry Johnson of the Chiefs. I don't know if you guys remember him. He was a pretty good running back. You guys are probably pretty young, but
I remember Larry Johnson. Okay. I mean, I don't know what he's done now.
Well, he went on like that like crazy like tweet storm last year and like a bunch of like homophobic slurs on his Twitter and just like all kinds of just like random wacky stuff that people were like, "Whoa, dude, that's CTE. Like, the way he was talking about, like, the government and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
We're starting to see more and more of, I think, of these underlying effects starting to be brought to the light, like, while people are still living. It's like, man, like, you know, there's something wrong up there. Hey, like Marshawn Lynch said, for real, get your chicken, check your mental, or, you know, check, get your mental in check, too. I think that's serious. Like, these guys, all those hits for that many years is making them crazy.
Yeah, and it's especially in the last couple of years, it's become so much more of an accepted ideology, if you will, right? Like, I remember when a lot of this stuff was first coming out, a lot of the general public had to be convinced, you know, that, yes, CT is a thing, right? Instead of, I feel like, you know, some people certainly thought, hey, you can't just give an excuse to these guys, right, for bad kind of behavior after their playing time ends or something along those lines. But certainly with starting with Junior Seau and working its way up through all of the examples till now, and not just in football, right, and a lot of different sports, in football, in basketball. I know that Fish and I have seen examples in wrestling, right, of wrestlers who have really kind of gone off the deep end because you know the head punishment that they go through. I think nowadays it is so much more of an accepted idea, you know, that somebody is affected by CT, and I think that a lot of us are going down this route, rightfully so, and not just because he's played football, but because we've seen just some of the brutal hits that he in particular has taken over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I mean you can kind of point to the one from Vontaze Burfict in particular, or a couple of them, as kind of being the if you could pinpoint it.
Yeah.
But I mean you hate to see it. I mean it's just a guy that was crazy talented. I mean you could make the argument that he's maybe the best receiver in the league. I mean, you can make the argument, maybe.
Oh yeah, I think for a time there, you know, 2016 or so, there's no question. 2017, he was the receiver. I mean, you had a lot of great receivers. Odell at that time, Julio Jones certainly, but you know, for any of those guys, you could have looked at any different specific, you know, basically style of their game, and said that yeah, they do what they do, they do what they are best at, the best in the whole league. And it's sad now to see this. It's worse with him out of the league. You know, you absolutely want Antonio Brown to be back in the league. It's like guys like Dez Bryant are trying to get back in the league. It's like, man, we don't need to see, you know, an old-ass Dez Bryant back in the league.
Wonderful.
Hey. Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Welcome into the show.
You got it fixed, Fish.
What'd you
do? How did you do it?
I switched mic ports. It was in three, which I don't know.
We didn't try that earlier?
No, and it should have never been in three, I don't think.
Yeah, it's weird.
Three and Out didn't use it this morning, so that...
I'm going to blame it on somebody, you know who I would blame it on if it were me?
The drive.
Yeah, no, like, have you seen these guys set up in the afternoon? I came in here when I told you I came in here and do some production work in the lab the other day. Uh-huh. These guys got like six people doing their damn show.
Really?
I was like... Wow, this is how the big boys do it.
Wow.
The afternoon drive. They had like six dudes in here. I was like, you need that many. They had a podcast guy. They had a Periscope guy on the board, two in the chair, and I think they had somebody else writing damn notes.
Who is the Periscope guy? He has the worst job at the whole station.
Yeah.
God bless his soul.
Yeah,
he's the Periscope guy.
Yeah, working with those dullards. I mean, of course, but they had a full house. I was like, man, this is how the rich live over here.
Wow.
I said, some days we got to do double duty in here. You guys got somebody for every station here.
I feel like it would get hot in here with six people.
Oh, they look hot.
Get cramped.
And, too, like, you know, they're like big shots in the afternoon. For whatever reason, they keep the lights off in here. I don't know. It's weird.
The lights off?
Yeah, they had the lights off when I came in.
Flip that switch, Rick.
Flip the switch.
Let's see what it...
Flip that one, Wes.
This is a little strange.
This is how they were rocking it.
This
it was weird.
In all darkness?
It was weird.
Should we try it the rest of the segment? Just
I
see?
Don't. I don't like it.
I don't either.
I kind of love it. I'm going to be totally honest.
Really?
Yeah.
All you can see is Brandon in the Bears.
Yeah. You gotta flip them back on.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I didn't like it at all. When I walked in, I was like, what are you guys doing? Like, you having a seance in here or something? You're doing a radio show. Yeah, hey, the rich, that's how they do it, though. But they did have, like, a full house of, like, they had a production team.
Like, I do remember.
It was like Russell and the Russellettes, like the Danettes. He had a bunch of them.
I remember on the day that we introduced the Blitzmas intro for the first time, when we had that whole kerfuffle, right, where we thought that we had gotten the station in trouble.
Well, you thought.
Yeah, you're right. I thought it. And I had come down to the station to take it off the podcast or whatever, and it was one of the Drive's interns training three other.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. That's how the big boys doing in the afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah,
you guys are really prepared here, guys, at the very least.
And didn't they just tweet yesterday that email Bear for more interns?
I know.
No, I think that was a joke.
Oh, was it? Yeah, because nobody really wants anybody like Bear doing HR stuff.
Bear never checks his email anyway.
And he doesn't check his email. Have you ever heard the story about his emails? He's got 300,000 emails unread.
Oh, that was it. Somebody, I guess one of their interns yesterday, accidentally put up a repeat of hour number one for hour number two, which, you know, you also did that a couple days ago.
But he didn't. He didn't tweet it out, did he?
But you caught yourself.
Oh, you did. Okay.
But we caught it all, so we were fine. They, however, it seemed like they forgot. So Russell said, you know, we're gonna take care of this matter very quickly and efficiently. We're also looking for a new intern.
I'm just saying, they had a full house. I was slightly jealous and slightly overwhelmed at the same time. There's a lot of folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am glad Fish's mic is back running, though. Look at the big brain on you, man.
Yeah, I don't know if it's always been in one and it just wasn't. I'm not sure.
We will blame.
You put it in the right hole, man. That's all that matters.
We will blame the Drive.
Yeah, that's who's taking all the blame. And definitely at the feet of the Bear and Russell W.
I blame the interns.
I don't want to do that to them, because that's what the older guys, they're going to blame the interns. And it's not right. They got like five interns. Cut down your interns. Maybe you got too many. Too many cooks are going to spoil the stew.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Hey, I'm seeing a video real quick on Twitter. Our guy. So good to see him. Juwan Jennings running routes, doing drills over at the Senior Bowl. That is taking place this weekend on Saturday. Juwan Jennings, Darrell Taylor there. Jeremy Pruitt's there. Or at least he was, at least for a quick minute, a quick cup of coffee.
When you said our guy, I thought you were going to be talking about our guy, Jamie Newman. Oh. The next Heisman Trophy winner. Brandon's gonna
Jamie
have to come
Newman in. Cannot be our guy.
And Brandon's got to come in here and shave.
Oh, he's our guy.
No,
I backed
he's
out.
He's not.
I backed out. I felt really dirty about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And I felt really uncomfortable.
Thank you, Rick.
No, not that I'm agreeing with you. I'm just
not so fast.
I'm really kind of playing very neutral here. I can't.
He's
stand
only our
for
guy
quarterback,
for the bet.
But whatever your take was, I don't remember it.
I
but I'm not going to agree with
I
you.
I can respect that.
Okay.
Wait. All I said was that he's not going to win the Heisman. How can you not agree with that?
Oh, why were we against Brandon so hard?
Because
he said he wasn't going to win the Heisman.
Well, if he wins the Heisman, I'll do this. Like, okay, that's fine.
Oh, that's right, because you do have a bet against it.
Yeah.
Shaved head.
All right, yeah.
Don't really give a damn about Jamie Newman. We just care about Brandon having to shave his head, his eyebrows, his beard, and everything, remember?
Spray tan.
Yeah, and a spray tan. Was part.
In
he said
drag.
He said he would do it all.
Eating hot sauce.
He did. He said he would do it all.
Style, you know, death.
Should Jamie Newman win the Heisman? He said he would do it all.
Hey, by the way,
you all sicken me. Sick.
68% do not know. I ran that poll from earlier from this morning. 68% don't know what it is. So I was wrong.
Don't know what is. Oh, the Blees.
Yeah, the Blees.
Yeah, like you said, you could should have just went with.
I really thought
you could have went with a lefty. You can go with the old marijuana.
A lefty.
Yeah, a left-handed cigarette.
Never heard of that.
Okay. Maybe that's a little archaic, you know.
I've heard of that.
I grew up in the night. Thank you, Fish. Or you could have went with what Brandon said, the more technical term for media members, a marijuana cigarette.
63% don't know what it is. I'm really disappointed by that number. Thought a lot more people would know.
No, they wouldn't
what
know.
What are you smirking at over here? I feel like it is. It's a common slang
word. I feel like him and,
Fish
have like some type of you guys got an inside conversation going on right now?
I think they do.
Me and Fish?
Yeah.
No. I wasn't even looking at Fish.
No, I was about to make a comment about Brandon.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, please do.
Yeah.
What you're doing right now, Brandon, might be illegal soon in Tennessee.
What, wearing a hood?
Yes.
Oh, that is true.
Really?
That is true. He is not lying. According to, I saw this the other day, Tennessee lawmakers are trying to make it illegal to wear hoods and also ski masks.
Right. Yeah, anything masked, you would actually be fine. It's on private property as long as you had permission from the owner.
I'll tell you what.
So you got to check in with the Godfather?
I have to ask Nate if I can wear my hood up in the studio.
Yep.
You got to get permission.
I have a feeling this won't pass.
This is absurd.
It's stupid. Like, I'm cold. I'm going to put a damn hoodie on. And I might put the hood on my head.
This is infringing on my rights.
It's a part of what you're wearing. Yeah. I get the ski mask, okay? Nobody wants a person into anywhere where they are.
Well,
with
I get
ski
whenever people
on.
Say, like, you know, when you go into the bank, they say, please remove your glasses, remove your hood, or remove your, like, if you got a ski mask or something on. They have signs like that at some banks. They do it at my bank. You have to remove all that stuff because, yeah, you don't want anybody coming there with a ski mask, freaking everybody out and rob, you know? Or just somebody coming there and rob you in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, a new Tennessee Senate bill would make it illegal to cover your face with a mask or hood in public.
I'm not covering my face.
Supporters
my
say
face is open for everyone to see.
Supporters say it combats crime by stopping people from concealing their identities. But critics say Senate Bill 1750 would be a violation of privacy, and that's what we're saying. Violating the proposed law would lead to a misdemeanor. So this would be a misdemeanor.
What bill do you think is more likely to be passed?
But here's the
we talked about the other day.
Yeah, here's the stipulation in this, though. But the regulation would not apply to holiday costumes, work uniforms, or sporting attire if it is needed for safety.
Apparently also parades, parties, stuff like that.
Senator John Lundberg, a representative from Bristol, of course, filed the bill.
I know you can't wear any kind of mask in Neyland.
Why would you?
No, just saying.
Rick, Bleeze is a fictional anti-heroin and supervillain appearing in the American comic book published by DC Comics.
Bleeze. What was the superpowers?
Excuse me. Yeah, let's see.
Oh,
wow. I said anti-heroin. I don't know. It doesn't really say her powers. What was that?
I was confused.
Did you just make some kind of hand gesture to Fish?
I did. Go back and check the tape.
Anti-heroin?
She's like the Green Lantern, but red.
Anti-smack?
We'll allow it.
I wasn't going to know if somebody else was going to allow it because I didn't know if I was.
Yeah, well, now we're more educated on what an actual Bleeze is.
We are, we're totally in no man's land right now.
You gotta get this thing back.
We've been all over the place.
You got this thing back on track, Rick.
At one point, we were talking about Juwan Jennings. At one point, we were talking about Asia fitting into Africa. There's been a lot of things in the last 20 minutes or so. Reset. Let's do this. Let's get a little opening drive coming up next. Hit some of these big news stories we might have missed. We'll see where that goes. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go. Opening drive, wrapping up a couple of your biggest news stories you might have headed into today. First down. This actually comes from Matt Daniel on Twitter, at Vols Picks. And he's got some great information on Tennessee's recruiting rankings according to Rivals. We talked about yesterday how Harrison Bailey got that, or we talked about the last couple days how Harrison Bailey got that elusive fifth star, has taken Tennessee up to the eighth ranked national recruiting class. He was not the only one of Tennessee's recruits to be re-ranked a little bit. So here are the most notable changes. Harrison Bailey jumped up 9 spots. Keyshawn Lawrence dropped 1 spot. Tyler Barron stayed the same. Amari Thomas jumped 32 spots. Martavius French jumped 8 spots. Jimmy Callaway jumped 8 spots. Bryson Easton jumped 4 spots. And Jalen Hyatt remained the same. So overall, you have, your players are jumping over 50 combined spots in these rankings. Certainly one of the biggest reasons why Tennessee has gotten all the way into a top 10 recruiting class in Rivals.
So we didn't have anybody that dropped?
You had one. Keyshawn Lawrence dropped 1 spot.
Okay.
But, you know, it is what it is. He's already one of the best.
There's only 1 spot, too.
Yeah. So you got a ton of movement there. A lot of good signs. This recruiting class, it seems to actually just keep getting better and better. The gift that keeps on giving.
So most of those guys that coming in now, so you're talking about, yeah, jumping up a couple spots. Recruiting rankings, we looked at Rivals the other day. They're in the top 10, correct? Are they at the 10 spot?
Just fell out of the top 10.
Oh,
I guess
really?
Somebody moved up.
So what is the top 10 right now?
Wes from Fox Sports.
Okay. So Tennessee is sitting at number 11.
Dang it.
Michigan's number 10. Auburn 9. Oregon 8. I believe they moved up, and I believe Michigan moved up.
I wonder if they just got moved up with the re-rankings as well. I mean, that's got to be it, right? Because there's no one else really moving right now. There's not a ton of commits left, so it's got to be this re-ranking thing, but it's weird here. I mean, I just did the quick math, and I believe it's 60. 60 total spots we jumped up, including Keyshawn Lawrence minus 1. But still, I guess that takes you backwards in the rankings. Hopefully Tennessee can make their way back into the top 10, but seems like we'll be on the outside looking in. All right, second down. It seems like it's finally happened, gentlemen. After 16 seasons in the NFL, next year will be, well, 16 for this individual in particular. But overall, next year will be the first season without a Manning family representative in a long, long, long time. Since, I guess, what, 98?
Yeah. Yep.
When Peyton came in. Eli Manning is officially holding a press conference to announce his retirement. Victories over the New England Patriots in 2007 and 2011. That's where his Super Bowl rings come from. He is 39 years old. Let's see. He's one of just 5 players in NFL history with at least 2 Super Bowl rings in an elite club with Joe Montana, Bart Starr, Tom Brady, and Terry Bradshaw. Or excuse me, that's 2 Super Bowl MVPs. I think that Eli Manning's going to have a very good season, I guess, over time, or career over time. Like, I think he's going to be looked at for those Super Bowl rings mostly. I think that this stuff kind of the end of the year will kind of just be fodder towards the end, right? You'll say, man, like Eli, what a career he had. Those 2 Super Bowl rings are obviously the most notable points. And then, yeah, he had a lot of really funny moments towards the end. But I think that's kind of the legacy that he has. I think he'll go down, certainly looked at it as one of the most positive quarterbacks for this sport, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, Eli Manning, 2-time Super Bowl winner, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, 57,023 passing yards, 7th all-time, 366 passing touchdowns, that is also 7th all-time, 4-time Pro Bowler, Walter Payton Man of the Year in 2016, 13-time team captain, never missed a game due to injury, somewhat of an Iron Man as well. I think Eli's a Hall of Famer, as much as I've made fun of him during his career, and I think he's been a little bit overrated somewhat. He still should be a Hall of Famer probably. You know, when the time comes.
I think so too. I think you get those.
He's done enough.
I think you get those two Super Bowl moments certainly catapult you into that.
Although he got saved by, you know, some crazy catches, but still, yeah. I think he's earned it.
He has made more than $250 million from his football contracts, which is the most in NFL history. Can you believe that?
Eli Manning?
Yeah. Eli Manning has made the most money from contracts in NFL history.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
It won't be for long, but
that's
damn.
The way the cookie crumbles.
Huh. Interesting.
A wealthy boy.
A wealthy boy.
A wealthy boy. All right, third down. The 2020 Baseball Hall of Fame was announced. And I think the biggest story, obviously, is the absence of one. He will certainly be there. But for the unanimous selection to the MLB Hall of Fame, Derek Jeter ends up with 396 out of 397 total votes cast, 99.7%. One individual was the one who did not vote him in.
One idiot.
Yeah. I don't know how you can either, man.
Hey, same thing happened with Griffey a couple years back. He should have been the first unanimous MVP. He never did a damn thing wrong, and he had. He was, I think he was 99.2%, and Jeter was like 99.3%. Like, those just, those old MLB curmudgeons.
Who was the, so he fell short of just becoming the second unanimous selection. Who was the first?
Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense. But let's see. So you need over 75% to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So Derek Jeter and Larry Walker are going in. Larry Walker gets in on his final year of eligibility. Behind him, Curt Schilling sitting at 70%. Roger Clemens at 61%. Barry Bonds sitting at 60.7%. Todd Helton, he got 29.2%. Be pretty cool.
He'll be in there.
I think so, too.
Career 300 batter.
Did he ever win a World Series?
No. He went in 2007.
Yeah, let's see. Jeter was left off of one ballot. Griffey was left off of three. Yeah, he just had some people just...
they just want to be trolls?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's,
how do you not
Greg Maddux
Derek
was also
Jeter in?
Greg Maddux was also somebody that was really close. I mean, Cal Ripken, he was left off, you know, a couple, too. He had 98%. But, yeah, Mariano Rivera, 100%. And then, like I said, Jeter was 99.7. Griffey, 99.3.
Wow. Two guys who certainly deserve that unanimous ballot. But
baseball voters, man. Take their votes away.
Man, baseball voters are harsh, too.
They're just old and decrepit.
Yeah.
And like they live by like the tradition of baseball too, and like I don't know, this is like I want to be the guy that doesn't vote for Derek Jeter. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Probably just want to be that one guy.
You can't have a reason for it because what
cuz it wasn't a lady cuz the ladies love Derek Jeter.
Yeah. That is
they
true.
Love their captain. Oh, captain, my captain is what they say.
Fourth down. Tonight 7 o'clock p.m. from the University of Connecticut, the Tennessee Lady Volunteers are taking on the UConn Huskies in one of, if not maybe, the sport's best rivalry. Is that fair to say? I'm certainly not a women's college basketball expert. I don't know what the
West from Fox Sports
are. Would you weigh say Tennessee-UConn is women's college basketball's premier rivalry?
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be hard to say now, considering we haven't played in... 10 years?
You
or
say
so.
It was must see TV at one point.
Oh yeah.
Are you guys going to be tuning into this game tonight? I know that really, Weston. I know you probably will, but you know, Chance Brandon. You know, I don't think any of us really watch the Lady Vols that much. But does something like this get you more excited to at least tune it on, or is this kind of just like a, hey, I'll figure out the final score maybe if it's close in the last couple minutes.
I'll glance at it. I mean. Kelly, Charlie Harper. Kelly is doing pretty good. You know, 15-3 on the year. Got her team in the top 25. Maybe they could shock the world. This would be the step.
I will.
You'll glance.
I'll check. If it's close late, I'll flip it over.
Yeah. Tennessee ranked 23rd, just like Chan said, 15-3 on the year so far. UConn is ranked 3rd in the country, 16-1, 6-1 at home. Weston, who do you think wins this game?
UConn.
Pretty handily?
You don't have faith.
What kind of chance do you
give?
If
the Lady Vols win?
What kind of chance do you give the Lady Vols?
I mean, they have a pretty good chance, I think. I mean, I'd say 25% chance. I think the game will be about 10 points.
Hey, we beat Notre Dame, though.
And they're not good.
Oh, they're not good anymore?
If Kelly Jolly Harper goes into the house that Geno built...
Oh God! Notre Dame 7-12. I thought they were a big win when we beat them at the beginning of the
time.
Year.
They were at the time.
Oh, that stinks.
And she takes down Gino. You going to do some knee drops tonight?
Uh-oh.
No.
Uh-oh.
Knee drops are out of my...
Come on, not even for a win against Gino
Against
Auriemma.
Gino.
I will be
Pat Summitt's biggest rival.
I will. I think it's going to take a natty for the...
A natty light?
No.
One natty light during the Lady Vols Connecticut game.
No, I'm talking a men's basketball or football championship for the...
What about baseball?
No.
Oh, hey, move the chains. First down, Al Solarik, part of the Tennessee Volunteers baseball team. He was just selected to be a part of the preseason All-America first team. How about that?
Good for him.
Representing the base Vols on the national stage.
I'm pumped up. We're less than a month away.
I'm very excited for baseball season, man.
Tony V.
Tony V has them boys rocking. I think it's going to be a very fun baseball season. I hope we're good.
What do you mean you hope?
Of course I hope we're good.
I mean, look at what we did last year. We should just build on top of that.
We're not ranked.
Who cares? Who cares? We got work to do. I'm not just going to hand it to you.
I like it.
What, do you just expect him to here you go, top 25
I feel like if we were that good last year, then that would have kind of been inevitable this year.
We weren't that good last year. We had a good year. I mean, it's better than where we've been. We're building, Rick.
We were ranked, though.
Hey, look at me here. I'm with you. I'm pumped. I can't wait for baseball season.
I don't think you believe
I will
in
be
Tony V,
the whole
Fish.
Time.
We'll be okay. Set the over or under at 8th in the SEC.
Turn your mic off.
Yeah.
It's the best time of year in the sports calendar, and if you've been thinking about betting on it, now's the time to sign up with MyBookie. Between football season, the NBA, NHL, and more, it's time to get off.
Would you eat that bat that was carrying the virus for $1 billion?
It's carrying the virus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But hold on. Here's the hypothetical I gave Rick. You got to eat half the bat. There's a less than 1% chance that you get infected with the virus.
I'd do it. A 1%, chance of dying or $1 billion? Taking the billion.
I feel like if I got the billion, I could probably like buy my way to not die.
Yeah.
Probably.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah, basically.
He's had AIDS for years.
Yeah, I guess I would too. Any of those hypotheticals that's like.
I don't know if I can say that, but he has. Well, it's the truth.
HIV.
Any of those.
The HIV virus. Excuse
those hypotheticals me. That are like, would you cut off your pinky finger for your team to win a national championship? The answer is always no. It's like, no, I would not do that. I'm sorry. Sorry, Ball Nation.
I'd cut off my pinky finger for amount of money, though.
It would have to be such a ridiculous.
I will cut off my pinky finger tomorrow for $100,000.
It like honestly, if they started working it down, it'd be like I might do it for $40,000.
You know, like, if the money's right there in front of me, you're talking about a pinky.
Can you imagine
somebody
saying to Weston,
"What if you got no anesthetic?
Hey, you want to do it for $100,000?" And the Weston goes,
"No anesthetic, no.
Yeah, just clean cut it with
like
something real sharp, just
like an axe. Just
oh,
if they were accurate and just could
$200,000 for the axe.
What?
Yeah, $200,000.
What? Weston doing the axe for $50,000?
Yeah,
$50.
I mean, like after. The money, I get the money. I'm going immediately to the doctor, you know, get the pain medicine. Like, I mean, like, I can try to go mind over matter on the pain. It's going to hurt. Yeah, it's going to be the worst
I feel like
pain.
You say this. I feel like once you actually get there and you're laying your hand on the table and then the guy's got the axe and he's about to rear back.
You can't look at him. That would be the thing. If you're going to do something like that, you can't look at the axe.
Look at the money.
Yeah, and you just got to, like, turn your head and just take it.
I saw somebody on Twitter that basically said, like, if I gave you $100,000, would you take that 40-second beating from Conor McGregor, the one that
no
the
doubt.
One that Cowboy got.
I'm taking that one too.
And I was thinking on Twitter, and I was like, I would say yes now, and then I would approach the ring.
Iron Mike, I can get in the ring with him for a whole. I'll get in the ring with him for three rounds for, you know, the right amount of money.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he can well up on me for the right amount of money. Iron Mike Tyson?
Might not make it three rounds.
You guys are crazy.
Probably at least one round. I'd take 50K.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had this conversation one time, and it was between two. It was Cody, myself, and two Titans fans.
Okay.
And the two Titans fans were asking, would you rather try to tackle Derrick Henry at full speed or get hit by a truck at 10 miles an hour? And obviously, you would choose to tackle Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I don't want to get hit by the
truck. Yeah, that would be very easy.
I know.
It's a very easy choice.
Yeah, I don't.
I know.
I don't get that.
How are you getting hit by the truck? Like, say it's
a
just
a truck or a car?
A truck.
Like a semi or like my truck?
Yeah.
Like your truck.
Okay, just like.
Not over?
Well, I'm trying to think. 10 miles an hour, that could be just like walking through an apartment complex.
They keep moving. The truck's not stopping. It's 10 miles an hour.
Could you be like on the corner of it and it just, it's like a deer just
off to the side? This is rude. You don't answer a question with a question.
That's one of the coolest. Not to be, you know, just, I don't want Peter coming after, but that's one of the coolest things. You hit a deer in the corner and just, doom, just drops off. One time I was driving, and this is an old truck, at an F-150. And no lie, I picked up somebody from the airport. And the weirdest thing ever, deer, obviously, just ran out in front of me, clipped it on the side. That thing got up and just kept on going.
I have a great one-minute fish story about hitting a deer, if you guys got a minute.
I think we always have time. Is it a good story, though?
It's a good one.
All right.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Bring it.
I'm about 5 or 6 years old, and I'm going out to dinner with my parents and grandparents, and we're in an SUV, and I just
Hey.
There we go.
Like, come on, dude. The fanfare. Like, let's... If you're going to, if it's going to be a fish tail, we got to do it the right way. Okay. Now you may proceed.
So I'm going to dinner with my parents and grandparents. Probably, I'm guessing, about 6 years, maybe younger than that, maybe 4 or 5, because I still couldn't say my R's.
Don't laugh at that. I know what you're thinking. A young fish not being able to say his R's.
So we had just been to Dollywood or somewhere, and I had a pop gun. You know what a pop gun is, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So, I was obsessed with hunting when I was little. Just wanted to kill deer. You know, my uncle was big into it, and I loved it. So, on the way there, I said, I'm going to kill a deer. And they're all laughing.
Or did you say, I'm going to kill a deer?
Yeah, that's it.
I can't laugh, but you can
say I didn't laugh.
That was a really good impression.
Yeah, it was a good impression.
I feel like you just nailed that one.
I'm going to kill a deer.
Well done.
That's similar. So, on there, I'm holding the pop gun. I'm sitting in the front seat, not the front seat. I guess, the back bench, because I can see through the window. And everything's good on the way there. On the way back, it's around, the Norris area. We mowed over a deer. And I'm sitting there, you know, big-eyed, just scared to death. And they're all like, oh, gosh, is everybody okay? And the only thing that came out of my mouth was, I forgot to shoot. With my pop gun. Forgot to shoot.
Pretty good. No.
I forgot.
A little insight to when fish was just a guppy.
A lot of calls coming in, too, after that fish story. Sorry, guys. We were having difficulties with our phones today. That's why. We're just not ignoring you guys that have been calling in. We would never do that. We love our callers. We're having some technical difficulties behind the scenes. Hopefully, it'll get worked out by the time Talk Sports goes on.
One of us was supposed to mention that an hour ago, right?
Yeah. It keeps going off over here.
That's
like,
all right.
I think it's about time to mention it.
Hey, that's
all right.
We did
it, though. Full circle.
All right, let's do this. Let's catch a quick break. We'll come back for the final segment of the show today. We got a fantastic ending to the show. Brand's got something good planned. And it's something that you got to hear. Something that you won't want to miss. So don't go anywhere. We'll see you after this. We're flying up no ceiling when we in our zone. Time to get there. All right, back here on the Blitz, 11:50 a.m. Thank you for hanging out with the show so far. But we got a good ending for you. Brandon has something that he is going to bring to the table. And again, like I said a second ago, it's something you don't want to miss. There's been a big thing happening in the mid-state. The big thing is referring to what happened on Saturday. Vanderbilt's basketball program.
Jerry Stackhouse has he's spoken out.
Yeah.
Please tell us. Please share.
Can you cue my music, please, Chance?
Of course.
Commodore Nation. Last Saturday's game against Tennessee was a disappointing one. We not only lost our at home to our biggest rival, but went 0 for 25 from 3, therefore ending the 34-year streak of consecutive threes. As a former college basketball player that was coached by the legendary Dean Smith, I thoroughly understand the importance of basketball tradition, history, and legacy, and was saddened to watch the piece of Vanderbilt tradition end during my tenure. I was equally saddened to hear the boos that came after made shots by our young student-athletes. As a coach, I pride myself in teaching these young men the right way to play basketball, and although they were encouraged to take threes at the end of the game, and plays were drawn up for three-point attempts, I can find no fault in our players making the right plays by giving what the defense gave them.
Preach on, Jerry. Preach on.
Whether that be a dunk or a layup. The last 3 minutes of the game, while we were down by 20 and Tennessee began to empty their bench, our starters and best shooters remained in the game and continued to press on defense in hopes of creating a turnover and possibly another three-point opportunity.
Boom.
To preserve the streak. Furthermore, they just could not fall. Commodore Nation, as we mourn the end of the three-point streak.
Better days will come, Commodore Nation. Better days will come.
I encourage everyone to support our team as we work to break an SEC losing streak and continue to build the foundation of our program that will ultimately create new traditions and a winning legacy.
The streak may be gone.
Signed, Jerry Stackhouse.
But never forgotten. Rest in peace.
And just in case you were wondering, Alabama beat Vanderbilt 77-62 last night, extending Vanderbilt's losing streak in the SEC to 23 straight regular season conference games, the longest streak in SEC history.
I saw that they missed their first 9 attempts from 3.
They hit a 3 last night, though, didn't they?
They finally hit one.
They missed their first 9. Brutal.
Mm.
They got up to 34 straight missed three-pointers, according to our own Bill Williford.
Old Bill.
Old Bill.
Hey, well done. That was fantastic.
Well done, Brandon.
Statistician Bill.
William.
That was fantastic reading, Brandon.
Thank you.
Analytical William.
Okay, so about the letter, though, right? Like,
you guys think it was for real? We talked about it. I feel like he's just like playing along with, like, oh, we love this streak is dead. Like, I feel that way. I hope that it was a joke to him. I hope he's not being real, because that's just...
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think he's definitely...
They wanted to keep the streak, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fans definitely wanted to keep the streak, and I think he recognizes that, and I think he's saying that in the letter that, hey, yeah, we recognize this is what happened. But I think he's also saying, hey, don't boo my players because we didn't hit a three and because we were making shots.
And because they were taking good shots. Yeah.
Don't boo my players.
No, I do think he was sticking up for his guys as well.
But
yeah,
that
makes sense.
But I don't know if he's
being serious or being facetious about this.
It was strange, though, right? Like, it was.
Mourn the streak?
It's weird when you have to send out that kind of letter via Twitter to your fan base in regards to the three-point streak. Do you think, like, a Rick Barnes would ever do this? If Tennessee lost a big streak or we had been hitting all the,
no.
You know,
no,
a three
no.
game?
He's too
exactly.
polished for this.
He'd be...
Breaking right. news?
Oh, right off the bat. Here we go.
There you go. Gary Kubiak, who spent last season as a Vikings
Uh-oh.
Assistant head coach and
Uh-oh.
offensive advisor, will now
Browns.
Be the offensive
Browns.
Coordinator.
Browns.
No, he will be the offensive coordinator for the Vikings.
No.
Oh, so he's moving up?
Moving up. Well, he was the assistant head coach, and he was just an offensive advisor over last season, but now they have promoted him to become the offensive coordinator.
Up there with old Norv.
Yep.
Brandon, your New York Metropolitans have found a manager. I can't believe we forgot this long.
I don't want to talk about it. We don't have time.
Who'd they get? No, we have time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've got like 30 seconds. Go for it.
If you don't say it, I will.
Luis Rojas.
Luis Rojas?
Who?
New York City?
Yikes.
Luis Reds.
Are you not thrilled about this?
No! No, I'm not thrilled. I could have had Dusty Baker.
Rojas
Terry Collins
was named the Mets quality control coach in 2018.
I know what he was.
You'd rather have Rusty Baker?
Yes.
You mean Dusty? Put some respect on Dusty's name.
He's old. He's Rusty Baker.
That's not nice, Fish.
Hey, that right there wraps it up for the show today. For us today. Thank you so much for hanging out here with us. We appreciate you being here. We love having you here. We will be back same time, same place tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. sharp. So do not be late and don't miss it. For Weston Brown, for Chance Collins, for Brandon Orrick, I am Rick Butler. Talk Sports coming up next. You've been listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.